The title to our message this morning is Truth or Consequences. Before we get into God's Word, though, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, this morning we thank you for your wonderful love and mercy. We thank you again for thy Word. Oh, your Word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We pray that you will bless us now as we talk this morning about truth and the ninth commandment. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My friends, something tragic has happened in America. We've gotten away from the basic standard of morality. Morality that's been rooted in the Ten Commandments. There was a time when all Americans took for granted that the Ten Commandments were the standard and the basis for morality. But we have seen one absolute after another go, not primarily by the older generation, but heartbreakingly, it has happened mostly with the younger generation. In 1962, the Supreme Court ruled that voluntary prayer in the public classrooms of the United States of America is unconstitutional. Quickly, they followed that in 1963 when they said we could no longer publicly read the Bible in the classrooms. It did not take them long to go to the next step where the posting of the Ten Commandments on the classroom's wall is illegal. And then in 1982, the Supreme Court ruled that we could not teach that we were created by Almighty God. The teaching of creationism was ruled to be unconstitutional and against the principles of this country. And from that time on, something terrible has begun to happen in America. Yes, we cannot post the Ten Commandments, but I will tell you what a child can do. A child can go into a school-based clinic today and receive birth control devices without his or her parents knowing about it. Now, they cannot get an aspirin without parental consent, but they can be given counseling concerning abortion without parental knowledge or consent. In America, our boys and girls can be given birth control devices and counseled about abortion, and the parents be completely oblivious to it. And yet, in America, we cannot even post the Ten Commandments on the wall. Our boys and girls are being taught what is called a values-free education. That is, we are not going to take a stand on values or character building in the classroom. Now, since that time, the suicide rate among teenagers has soared astronomically. Illegitimate births have become pandemic. Promiscuity, or free sex among the youth, is rising. And the problem is this. We in America have lost the concept of absolute God-given truth. U.S. News and World Report said, and I quote, "Our nation has become a nation built on falsehood. Government officials dissemble." Now that's a fancy word for lying. "Scientists falsify research and workers alter career credentials to get jobs," unquote. And then this article asks the question, and I quote again, "What is going on here?" The answer is, a growing number of social critics fear is an alarming decline in basic honesty, unquote. Friends, this is so-called God-blessed America. Now we know more and we believe less than ever before. We are drowning in a sea of facts. In the last 30 years, we have produced more information than in the previous 4,000 years. Nearly 50,000 books and 10,000 magazines are published in America every year. And we're told this information is doubling every 5 years. Now, these are facts. But facts are no substitute for truth. We are becoming roadkill on the information superhighway. While the information is coming, truth has been jettisoned. Isaiah 59:14 says, "Judgment is turned away backwards, and justice stands afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." What is the picture here? It is a picture of a traffic jam. Here is equity, justice, and judgment. And they're all backed up. Why? Well, because truth has fallen in the street. And because truth has fallen, judgment, justice, and equity cannot get by. So just how did truth fall? Well, she's been kicked down by professors of philosophy. She's been tripped up by dishonest politicians and judges and courts. She's been put to chloroform by liberal preachers teaching everything but the truth. My friends, truth has fallen. And what is wrong in America? Judgment, justice, and equity cannot get through because truth has fallen in the streets. So just what is our job as Seventh-day Adventists? Our job is to set truth back up on our feet. That's the responsibility of you and me, each one of us. The Bible says in Exodus 20:16, "You shall not bear false witness." Now I want you to listen carefully today as we talk about this most important subject. The first thing we need to look at is the liability of a false witness. You shall not bear false witness, the commandment says. Have you ever thought about who the father of all liars is? It is Satan himself. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you desire to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has not stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it." My friends, every time you tell a lie, you are acting like the devil. Do you know what the word devil means? The word devil means slanderer. Slanderer. That's the meaning of the word devil. Slanderer. When you bear false witness or slander, you are like the devil. When you tell the truth, you are like the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name is truth. Now, let's look at what Satan has done. For example, he has used slander to corrupt Adam in the Garden of Eden. Satan slandered God's honesty because God had said, "In the day that you eat, dying, you shall die." Satan said, "No, you shall not surely die." He tried to make God into a liar. And brothers and sisters, anyone who places a question mark after the Word of God is doing the work of the devil. He slandered the honesty of God and the goodness of God when he said, "You shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, even your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. In other words, Satan said, "God really does not care about you. He just has a monopoly on being God, and he wants to keep it all to himself." You see, my friends, Satan is really slandering the goodness, the righteousness, and the honesty of God. Are you listening to Satan? Well, the slanderer did his work and Adam and Eve sinned. And then I want you to see how he used slander to false witness to criticize another godly man. Just look at the book of Job, chapter 1. And you'd find there that Satan appears before the throne of God and begins to slander Job. Now, Job was an upright man, and he loved God with all of his heart. And there God the Father says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's a good man." Satan said, "Well, he does not really love you. The only reason he serves you is because you have bribed him and you bought him off. You've given him all these good things. Job has never known any heartaches or trouble. And the only reason he serves you is for what he can get out of it." You see, Satan corrupted a good man through slander and criticized a godly man through slander. And you also find him coming against the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan came to Jesus and began to slander him by his accusations and by his temptations. Now, the truth of the matter is that Satan bears false witness against the Lord Jesus even today. Even today. And he bears false witness against you even today. In the same manner as in the past, he does it today. And I believe that the devil has been working extremely hard, even this morning, in all of our lives today. When Jesus was taken by the Pharisees, who wanted to crucify him, the Bible says in Matthew 26:59, "Now all the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." Friends, from the Garden of Eden to the time when they hung up Jesus on the cross, even to this day, Satan is still in the business of slander. Anytime you slander someone, you're acting like Satan. Now, he is the father of slander. And being the father of it, he has a family of children. Children are like their father. So who are the children of Satan? Well, if you ever appear in court and you commit perjury, you're guilty of breaking the 9th commandment that says, "You shall not bear a false witness." Exodus 23, verse 1 says, "You shall not raise a false report. Put not your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a multitude to do evil." Friends, it does not matter what people think. You must speak and tell the truth. The truth as it is in Jesus. Are we withholding the truth from our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers? If we spoke the truth in love as Jesus did to our friends and our co-workers and our neighbors, I believe our church would be filled here on Sabbath mornings. In a courtroom, if you practice perjury in a courtroom and your testimony sets someone free who may be a murderer, one day the person who does that will stand in God's courtroom, and the one who sets a murderer free will be condemned of murder themselves. Also, the one who accuses the innocent will suffer the penalty that caused the innocent to suffer. The perjurer is a child of his father, the devil. Now, let's take a look at another part of this commandment. The rumor monger also is a child of his father, the devil. It was rumored that Jesus was going to destroy the temple. Jesus did not say he was going to destroy the temple in Jerusalem. He was talking about the temple of his own body. The Bible says in Exodus 23, verse 1, that you should not raise a false report. Friends, the Bible clearly forbids the spreading of rumors. I heard of a new pastor that came to a large church, and the people didn't know him very well. But some of the people started a little rumor that they had had a ladies' meeting, and the pastor had come to that meeting and rudely told his wife that she must leave and almost snatched her out of the meeting. The ladies began to talk about how rude the pastor was to his wife, and this was rumored throughout the whole large church. He was new, and the people did not know him very well. Well, after a while, he got news of the rumor, and he had to talk about it from the pulpit. He said, "I want to say several things about a rumor that's going around. First of all, I never tell my wife what meetings she can or cannot attend. Secondly, my wife did not attend a meeting in question. Thirdly, I never appeared in a meeting in question either. And fourthly, I do not even have a wife." My friends, it is so easy for unfounded rumors to get started. The perjurer and the rumor monger break the ninth commandment. Now let's dig a little bit deeper here. Let's take us just a little bit farther. The flatterer breaks this commandment also. Did you know that flattery is forbidden in the Bible? Proverbs 26, verse 28 states, "A lying tongue hates the one it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin." Now, let me clear something up right now. I'm not talking about giving encouragement. We should give encouragement. That is extremely important. I want you to know that. I'm not talking about giving thanks to someone for their service. Encouragement and thanksgiving are the oil that lubricates life. It is the oil that lubricates life. Always remember that. The Bible says we are to encourage one another. That's not flattery. If someone has done a good job, tell them so. Encourage them. But flattery, however, is a way of using people. People flatter somebody else so that they can use them. Psalm 55:21 says, "The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart." Have you ever met anyone like that? They flatter you to your face, but when your face is turned, it's amazing what unkind things they will say about you behind your back. Friends, do you know why a flatterer and a hypocrite are so much alike? The flatterer will say to your face what he will not say behind your back. The hypocrite will say behind your back what he will not say to your face. Both are heads and tails of the same coin, and God's word forbids it. Now, you can also break this commandment by mere insinuation. The Bible speaks in 2 Corinthians 12:20 about whispering. Whispering. While Jesus was teaching, the Pharisees insinuated that Jesus was an illegitimate child. They said in John 8:41, "We are not born of fornication." So what is the implication here? You are. Friends, we can bear false witness just by insinuation, just by the tone of our voice, or just by the arching of our eyebrows. Now, I've told you before about something that God had convicted me of in my younger days. I was pulling a camper, and I knew the taillights had quit working. But I was pulling a camper at night, and I was pulled over by the police. And the officer said, "Sir, do you know you have no taillights on your trailer?" Do you know what I said to the officer? I told him the truth. I said, "I don't have any taillights." I told the officer the absolute truth, didn't I? I had no taillights. But you see how I said it? I insinuated that I did not know that. Later on, God convicted me that I had told a lie. And I did. I told a lie by mere insinuation. I then asked the Lord to forgive me. And I know He did. My friends, we can lie by the tone of our voice. The Bible says in James 4:11, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." Now, it does not say whether it is or is not true. We are not to slander or speak with an evil spirit. The Bible calls this in Jeremiah 18:18, "striking with the tongue." Striking with the tongue. Many good people are smitten with an unruly tongue. Someone said, "I would rather play with forked lightning or take in my hands live wires with their fiery currents than to say a reckless word against any servant of Christ." Or idly repeat the slanderous darts which thousands of professed Christians are hurling on others. My friends, when you listen to slander, you are as guilty as the person who gives it. Now, it is not much of a compliment to you when people want to use your ears for garbage cans. That's not a compliment. You can even break the spirit of "you shall not bear false witness" by simply being silent when someone is slandering someone else, because the negative always implies the positive. And when the Bible says you shall not bear false witness, it implies you shall bear what? True witness. And if you're quiet and do not speak when you ought to speak, you have sinned. Leviticus 5 verse 1 says, "If anyone sins in that he has sworn to testify and has knowledge of the matter, either by seeing or hearing of it, but fails to report it, then he shall bear his iniquity." That is, if you simply say, "None of my business," and keep silent when a criminal deed is done, or when you fail to speak up when a good person is being criticized, you break the spirit of this commandment. Brothers and sisters, do you want me to teach the truth to you? Do you want me to help you prepare for heaven? Or do you want me to speak light things that are just the social gospel? Is the Lord going to judge us on the commandments, or is He not? We need to learn what these things mean and how they reach down into where we live, not just go over our heads. It's so important that we learn. The Bible says we are to dig for the truth.
Amen.
Now, if you think you can do anything more foolish and more hurtful than to bear false witness when it is so hurtful to others and so hellish before God, I want you to think again. I want you to listen now to what God says in Proverbs 6:16 and following. He says, "There are six things that the Lord hates." Not that the Lord loves, but the Lord actually hates. Yes, seven that are an abomination to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Now, my friends, of the seven things that God hates, two of them deal with breaking the ninth commandment, which says, "You shall not bear false witness." Now, someone may think, "Well, it's just a small thing to tell a little white lie." But if you have a practice of lying, I want to tell you plainly and clearly, that the person that lies is of the father, the devil. And they become a witness for the devil. And the Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 8, that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. Now, that's the Word of God. I can't soften it. There's nothing I could do to soften it up. That's the way it is. That's what God's Word says. From the lightning and thundering of Mount Sinai, God says, "You shall not bear false witness." Now, bearing a false witness is not witnessing when God asks us to go out and witness to the truth to our neighbors and our friends and our families. We must witness. We must tell them what Jesus has done for us. Now, there's a second thing I'd like to look at today, and that is the reality of a faithful witness. The reality of a faithful witness. Because when God says, you shall not bear false witness, by implication, God is saying, you shall bear a faithful witness. Jesus is called the faithful and true witness of God the Father. And we are to be faithful witnesses to Jesus. Jesus says, you are my what? Witnesses. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. We are witnesses of what Jesus is all about. Friends, my home and your home ought to be a witness to the saving power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our neighbors ought to know it. The Bible says they took the gospel from house to house. Now, that does not mean that someone went down the street knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. This house, and then this house, and then that house. Now, that is well and good. And that is a good way to do evangelism. But that is not what the Bible means when it says the faith went from house to house. It means it goes from the Petch's house to the Sims house to the sheriff's house. And so one family becomes a witness to another family. It doesn't have to be on going down the street, knocking at every door. Well, we should be witnessing to our family and friends and neighbors ourselves. If we were doing that faithfully, this young man wouldn't have a job to do. I know he'd like to have his job eliminated for that reason, right? Sure he will, but I mean, if we all are doing our work, then you wouldn't have a job to do. That's what he wants. He wants us to do our work of being Christ's witnesses. Okay. Now, we are not to bear a false witness to our neighbor. We are to bear a faithful witness to our neighbor. Our neighbors are to know that Jesus is our Savior. We need to tell them about the Jesus we know. Are you being a faithful witness to your neighbors and to your family? Do your neighbors know that you are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian? You say, well, Pastor, I've not been to seminary and I'm not trained. Well, let me ask you some questions. Is Jesus Christ saving you? Wow. Wow, I tell you what. Is Jesus Christ saving you?
Yes.
I hope so. It didn't sound like it there to start off with. Has He changed your heart?
Yes.
Is He real to you?
Yes.
Is Jesus Christ saving you now?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. He is saving His children. Now remember, you are called to be a faithful witness. And what does a witness do? A witness tells what he has seen and heard. Right? Now, Jesus did not call you to be his lawyer. A lawyer argues a case. But a witness simply shares what he has seen and heard. So just tell people what Jesus has done for you. And how you know He has done it. Jesus says, just tell them what things I have done, what great things I have done for you. And if Jesus has done great things for you, how easy it is to tell others what He has done. I find that's the easiest way to witness. It's a lot easier than going out and telling people what the 2300 days are all about. And a lot easier than going out and telling them what the Sabbath is all about. Because Jesus has done great things for me. It's easy for me to tell what He has done in my life. how he has changed me from what I used to be to what I am today.
Amen.
Do not witness about things you don't know, but witness about things that you do know. If you failed the Lord, tell how the Lord has forgiven you and given you another chance. And I'm going to tell you, every single one of us here in this room has been given other chances.
Amen.
Our neighbors are waiting to hear about the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are dying in their sins. They need to know. Now, there is a liability of a false witness, and there is a reliability of a faithful witness. Now, let me tell you about the responsibility of a family witness. There is a crying need in America today for families that know the truth, believe the truth, love the truth, teach the truth, speak the truth, and share the truth. A home that is built on truth will not crumble. A home that is not built on truth will crumble. So what do we do about these things that I have talked about today? How do we transfer them to our children? So our children might go out into the world and permeate society with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we parents are supposed to do? Teach our children that? Well, there are three basic ways, and number one is by precept. You need to study the Bible and collect the principles of life found there and teach them to your children. Take the Word of God and show them that when they tell a lie, they're acting like the devil. And don't just simply say, you should not tell a lie. It is bad and naughty to tell lies. Give them a Bible reason why they should tell the truth. And even a little child, 2 and 3 years old, can be given a Bible verse. Talk of the Bible principles when you rise up and when you lie down. Make certain your family understands the holy commandments. So number one, you transfer by teaching. And number two is by example. I cannot say it well enough or strong enough how urgently important it is that you tell the truth. Listen, you need to be able to say to your family and children, God says you are not to bear a false witness. And I personally will never knowingly lie to you. By the grace of God, I will always keep my word to you. Friends, our children need to know that. You can fail in many ways and still come out fairly well with your family. But if you fail to keep your promises and not always tell the truth to them, I promise you that your home is on the road to disaster. My friends, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to have fathers and mothers that tell the truth. If you have ever, ever made a promise to your family or child and failed to keep that promise, ask them to forgive you. Ask for forgiveness when you have done wrong and confess that you have failed, not only to them, but to the Lord. Now, fathers and grandfathers, we have a few of those men here. I want to plow really close to the corn right now. Do you have one of those little boxes up on your dashboard called a fuzz buster? Don't raise your hand. Well, I want to ask you a question. Why do you have it there? Why does your child think you have it there? Now, if you have one, I'm not saying throw it in the garbage can. What I'm saying is, tell your child, I have it there in case I absent-mindedly somehow begin to break the law. But my intent is not to try to get around the law, but to keep the law. Amen?
Amen.
I am telling you folks, we had better be careful what we are teaching our children. This thing about integrity is very, very important. Do children know if we tell the truth? Do we ever tell the children to lie for us? Do we ever teach the children to answer the phone and say, Mom or Dad is not here? They may say it this way, Mama says she's not here. Now, if we teach them to lie for us, we should not punish them if they lie to us. I actually heard of a mother who told her son, Johnny, if you don't stop lying, there's a man, a green man who lives on the moon, who will catch you and make you pick up sticks the rest of your life if you don't stop lying. Now, how about this one? And I know every single one in this room has heard this one before, if you haven't said it yourself. If you're not a good little boy or girl, Santa Claus will not leave you anything for Christmas. My friends, if we want our homes to be a blessing, we had better go back to what God has said. Take the commandments one at a time. One at a time, and begin with the commandment that says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Take them one at a time and measure our lives by them and teach them to our children. My friends, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Do you really? Jesus is the faithful and the true witness. He is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. If you want the Lord to take control of your life today, it can happen. It can happen. To be surrendered to the Lord means that every sin is forgiven. It means that every dishonest thing that we have ever done is buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness, never to be brought up against us anymore. Now, to summarize what we've talked about this morning, to be in a saved condition means that the one who is the truth lives in us. Lives in us and helps us to live out the truth in our lives. To be in this condition means we have the joy of God and the peace that passes understanding. It means that we have a home in heaven and also have millions of believers all around the world who are now our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful blessing. I love the Lord, and His commandments are like a fence, a hedge, if you will, around my life to keep me in the will of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we know you love us and you want to save us. Jesus died to save us and promised to save us if we would only trust Him and are obedient. Father, we are weak, but we want to trust you this morning. Take our feeble strength and join yours with ours. We believe Jesus is your Son and that He paid our sin debt with His blood on the cross. And we believe you raised Jesus from the dead. And now may all of us here this morning receive Jesus by faith into our lives to become our Lord and Master and to forgive us our sins and give us power to live for you no matter what. Please take control of our lives and save us today and help us to be your witness. And may we have the power and the strength to be a witness to our friends, our families, and to tell them what great things you have done for us. For it is in the name of Jesus,
Pineapple,
our Lord and Savior, we ask this. Amen.